Welcome to the Acts in Africa audio recordings. This was a training session for the National Evangelist of Tanzania in December 2016 and taught in Morogoro, Tanzania. Reverend Mark Turney is teaching on how to pray with people to be filled with the Holy Spirit. The translation is Swahili. We trust you will enjoy the teaching and we would love to hear your comments. Feel free to contact us at actsinafrica@agmd.org.
Well, we are going to be talking about praying with believers to receive the Holy Spirit. And as we've done with each lesson, let's begin by first talking about the purpose of this lesson. The purpose is to learn how Spirit-filled believers can help other believers receive the Holy Spirit and to be inspired to participate in this ministry. You know, many people will be filled with the Spirit if we will pray with them. In the book of Acts, we see believers praying with other believers that they would be filled with the Spirit. What we're talking about in this session is an example that we find in Scripture. In Acts chapter 8, in Samaria, many people were being saved, but no one was being filled with the Spirit. And so Peter and John, they went to Samaria, and it says that they went to pray with them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 9, when Saul had the vision of Christ on the road to Damascus and he received Christ into his life, we read how God sent a disciple by the name of Ananias to pray with Paul. And in Acts chapter 9, verse 17, Ananias said to Saul, he said, "The Lord has sent me that you might receive your sight and that you might be filled with the Holy Spirit." And there are other examples as well. So what we are talking about here is this work of praying with people to receive the Holy Spirit is in the example we see in the book of Acts. We have mentioned this a number of times, but let me say it one more time because it's foundational for this lesson. It is not our job to fill people with the Holy Spirit. But what God wants us to do is to help lead people to be prepared to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. God wants to use us as we pray with people to prepare their hearts and encourage them and help them to receive the gift God will give them. And so that's what this session is about. We want to learn what can we do to help lead people to the point where they are ready to receive the gift of the Spirit. God is ready to give His gift to every believer. He has promised the Holy Spirit to every believer. But not every believer is ready to receive this gift. And that's where you and I can be of help in this ministry. When I came to understand that, I was no longer afraid to pray with people. When I pray with someone to be filled with the Spirit, I don't worry anymore about will they be filled or not, because it's not my responsibility. That's God's responsibility. And I think that as we go through this, you will also experience the joy of this ministry of praying with people to be filled with the Spirit. Now, before we talk about how to go about praying with people, we want to talk about some preliminary considerations. There are several things that are important to have in mind as we enter into this topic. The first question that we want to consider is the question, who can be filled with the Holy Spirit? The answer in Scripture is that any born-again believer can be filled with the Holy Spirit. Any person who has repented of their sins and committed their heart to Christ is a candidate to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, Peter said, "Repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." So the gift is for any born-again believer. And I think it's important to say the baptism of the Holy Spirit is not what makes someone to be a Christian. It's what makes them to become a powerful, effective Christian. It is the experience that equips them to do the work that God is calling them to do. The second question that we should answer: who can pray with people to be filled with the Holy Spirit? And again, I believe that we find the answer in Scripture. And the answer is that anyone who has been filled with the Spirit can pray with other people to be filled with the Spirit. The only thing you need is to have faith and to be passionate about seeing people receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You don't have to be a pastor to be able to pray with people to be filled with the Spirit. Any born-again believer who has received the gift of the Spirit can pray with someone else. And that's true, because again, it's not us who are filling people with the Spirit. That's God who's doing that work. Our work is simply to help prepare people to receive the gifts. You know that story in Acts chapter 9 of that man named Ananias who prayed with Saul. It's interesting that the book of Acts tells us that Ananias was a certain disciple. That's what he's called. He's called a disciple. He was just a believer. He was not an apostle. He was not a prophet or a pastor. He was a disciple of Jesus Christ. But that disciple named Ananias is the one that God used to lay hands on the man who would become the apostle who would write the greatest portion of the New Testament. What a wonderful ministry. What a wonderful thing that God did through Ananias to lead Saul into receiving the Holy Spirit. You know, the reason that Dr. Miller and myself and the other members of the Acts in Africa team, the reason that we are involved in this ministry is because we are passionate to see people filled with the Spirit. We believe that if the church in Africa is empowered by the Spirit, the church in Africa can change the world. But none of us have a gift of praying with people to be filled with the Spirit. You can search the whole Bible. You will never find the gift of praying with people to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It is not there. We have the goal of seeing people filled with the Holy Spirit. If you will take that same goal yourself, God will use you, and He will use any member in the church who will accept that goal. He will use any believer to see people filled with the Spirit. Now there's a third question that we want to answer. What is the proper biblical context for receiving the Holy Spirit? We're saying that the work that we need to do is to help people to receive, to help them to be ready to receive. So what are the elements that we should be trying to help create in people's hearts so that they will be ready to receive? And there are four elements that you will see listed there in your outline. Now, a few of these, not all of them, but a few of them, Dr. Miller mentioned yesterday when he was speaking about how to preach on the baptism in the Spirit. But it's good to review. So the first element that is necessary and helpful for people to receive the Holy Spirit is the element of commitment to Christ and His mission. When a person has genuinely committed their heart to Christ as their King and to His mission of being a witness, this prepares them to receive the Holy Spirit. Jesus said in John chapter 14 and verse 15, "If you love me, you will obey my commands. And I will ask the Father, and He will send another counselor to be with you forever." If you love me, you will obey my commands. And I will ask the Father, and He will send the Holy Spirit to be with you. So as we are trying to help people to prepare and to be ready to receive the Holy Spirit, we want to encourage them to commit their hearts to Christ and to commit themselves to being a witness. As we see in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, the primary purpose of the experience is for powerful witness. And so when a believer commits their heart, "Lord, I will use the power that you give me, I will be obedient, and I will be a witness for you," this prepares someone's heart to receive the gift of the Spirit. This is why we have been over and over emphasizing that as we preach and teach about the baptism in the Holy Spirit, we should talk about the mission of God. And so as you pray with people, continue to encourage them to commit their heart to be a witness for Jesus Christ. If they will make that decision in their heart, God will be pleased and He will give them the gift of the Holy Spirit. You know, there's a story in Acts chapter 5. Where the disciples, they had been arrested and they were being threatened and they were being told to stop proclaiming the name of Jesus. And the Apostle Peter, he responded. And this is what he said. He said, "We will not stop speaking about Jesus." He said, "Because we are witnesses of these things." And then he said this in verse 32. He said, "And the Holy Spirit, whom God gives to those who obey Him, He is also a witness." He said, God gives the Holy Spirit to those who obey Him. He was talking about being obedient to be a witness for Jesus Christ. He was being threatened. He was being told, "Stop witnessing." And he said, I will not, because God gives the Holy Spirit to those who obey Him. So if we want to see true Pentecostal revival, if we want to see an outpouring of the Spirit upon the church in Tanzania, then we must call the church in Tanzania to commit itself to the mission of God. Because God gives the Holy Spirit to those who obey Him. There's a second element that is mentioned in your outline that is also very important. And that is the element of desire. And so as we pray with people, we want to stimulate and encourage desire in their hearts. Jesus said in John chapter 7 verse 38, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink." Out of his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. When someone is thirsty for God, when they long to experience the power and presence of God, this will motivate them to begin to pray and to seek, and it will help to prepare them to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. matamanio au ile shauku itafanya atafute kwa bidii ili kuweza kujazwa na Roho.
A third element that is very important. In fact, it's the most necessary element to receiving the Holy Spirit. And that is the element of faith. As we pray with people, we want to encourage and stimulate faith in their hearts to believe that God will give them this gift. In Galatians chapter 3 and verse 14, Paul says that we receive the Spirit by faith. Faith is what opens the door for God to work in our lives. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. But Jesus said, everything is possible for him who believes. As we pray with people, we want to encourage them, believe that God will hear and he will answer your prayer. Yesterday, Dr. Miller mentioned another verse that everyone should memorize. In Mark chapter 11 and verse 24, Jesus said, "Whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours." Whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that God has given it to you. Believe that you have received it and you will receive it. It will be yours. Notice how it's worded. But Jesus said there, he didn't say believe that you will receive it. He said believe that you have received it. Oftentimes when we come to God in prayer, we're praying, God, please do this, and we're hoping that he will hear an answer. But faith says, when I ask, I know God has heard me. He is doing what I am asking right now. Faith is bold. Faith does not doubt. And so that's what we're saying. People need to pray with faith. And so we want to encourage people, believe when you ask God, first of all, believe God hears you. But not only that he hears you, believe that he is answering your prayer as you ask him. And that kind of faith, Jesus said, will bring the result. So people must pray with faith. And so as we pray with them, we want to encourage that and try to stimulate that kind of faith in their hearts. Now there's a fourth element that is also essential. And that is the element of prayer. The Holy Spirit is given in answer to prayer. As we read the New Testament, every time that we see the Spirit being poured out, people receiving the Spirit, it is in response to prayer. Jesus. Luke tells us that when he came up out of the river Jordan, he says, as he was praying, the Holy Spirit descended upon him.
In
In Acts chapter 1, we read how that believers were, after Jesus went back to heaven, it says that they were continually in prayer, seeking God. They gathered in that upper room and continually they were praying and seeking God. Luke 24, I think it's about verse 50, says that they were continually in the temple praising and worshiping God. Jesus told them to wait in Jerusalem.
Yes, Jerusalem.
But they didn't just go back and sit down and just begin to wait. They went back and they began a prayer meeting for over a week, calling out upon God. And on the day of Pentecost, God answered their prayer and poured out of His Spirit upon them. Because the Holy Spirit is given in answer to prayer. And that's what Jesus taught us. Turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 11. And let's just very quickly read, we'll read verses 9, 10, and 13. Luke chapter 11, verse 9. And I tell you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. And then verse 13. If you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? Now, when Jesus said these words, He was answering a question, a request that His disciples made to Him. If you look in verse 1 of chapter 11, you will see that the disciples asked Jesus to teach them to pray. That was their request. Teach us to pray. And so what did Jesus teach them? He taught them to begin to ask and to seek to receive the Holy Spirit. So Jesus says that the Holy Spirit is received in answer to prayer, as we ask in prayer. So, this is a very important thing. As we begin to pray with people to receive the Holy Spirit, we must remember that we are not just there to pray for people. Those who are wanting to be filled, they also must pray. Because Jesus said the Father gives the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him. So if someone wants to be filled with the Spirit, what should they do? They must begin to ask. And so we want to encourage people that they should pray. And I think this is especially important in Africa. Because of something that I have noticed. Now, I've told you, I've been a missionary for almost 23 years. And I've had the privilege of traveling and preaching in many, many countries across the whole continent. And I have noticed something in almost every place where I have traveled and preached. When I give an altar call and invite people to come to the altar, I have noticed often people will come, they are not coming to pray, they are coming to be prayed for. They come forward and they wait until the man of God comes to lay his hands on them. And then they wait for something to happen. They're waiting for the power in the man of God to hit them. And oftentimes I've noticed that after you pray for them and you go to the next one, they turn around and will go back to their seat. And I begin to realize something is wrong here. They are not coming to pray and seek God. And that is wrong. If people are going to experience the Spirit of God, they must from their heart begin to cry out with faith and ask, God, fill me with your Spirit and transform my life. And that's where you and I have work to do. We must help people to understand. You must pray. God will hear your prayer. I'm praying to be filled with the Spirit. Together, let's pray together, and together, let's receive the Holy Spirit. And so we pray not for people, but we pray with people. Because Jesus said the Father gives the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him. So these are the four things that as we pray with people, we want to keep them in mind. Everything that we do as we pray with people should be focused on helping to encourage these four things in their life. Because if someone commits their heart to Christ and to His mission, and they are hungry, they are thirsty for the power of God in their life, and with faith in their hearts, they begin to pray, God will answer. They will be ready and they will receive the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
That's the context that helps to prepare people to receive the Holy Spirit. One more consideration, and I don't think this one is in your outline, but I've added this. Where can you pray with people to be filled with the Spirit? There is not just one place where you can pray with people to be filled with the Spirit. Now, yesterday, Dr. Miller, as he was teaching about how to preach on the baptism of the Holy Spirit, he talked about giving an altar call. That is one very, very good setting where we can pray with people to receive the Holy Spirit.
Na hapo ni mahali pa kwanza pazuri ambapo tunaweza kuwasaidia watu kujaza Roho Mtakatifu.
And as he explained, the goal in that setting should be to call the whole church to come to be filled with the Spirit. So that those who have never been filled will be filled with the Spirit, and those who have been filled will be refilled with the Spirit. And one of the benefits of praying at the altar as a church is that with many people praying, this creates an atmosphere of faith, and our prayers one with another, we encourage each other to seek God and to be filled with the Spirit. But I want to encourage you that the altar is not the only place that you can pray with people to be filled with the Spirit. You could also pray with somebody in your personal interview, maybe in your office or in their home, any other place that would be appropriate like that. The altar in the church is not the only place we can pray with people. And in fact, what we're saying is that we should be continually, at every opportunity, praying with people to be filled with the Spirit. And while there are certain benefits of praying at the altar, there are also some good things about praying with someone in a personal interview. In a personal interview with one or two people, you can talk to them, you could ask questions. Perhaps it's a situation where someone they have been praying and they're not being filled. Well, in a personal interview, you can talk to the person and you could ask questions and find out more. What are they experiencing? What is happening? And then you can give better counsel and guidance to help to prepare them to receive the Holy Spirit. Let's take advantage of every opportunity to pray with people. Because our people need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. This is one of the most important jobs of a Pentecostal pastor. After someone receives Christ, the most important thing they need after that is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And so this should be a regular part of what we recognize as our job as a Pentecostal minister. As soon as someone receives Christ, we should immediately begin to encourage them and help them to receive the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Now let's move on into the second main point, and let's talk about the procedure of how to pray with people. What we have here in this outline, this is a model of praying with people that has been developed by the Acts in Africa team. We're not saying this is the only way to do it. But this model is a biblical model. It comes from the Scriptures. And we have used this model all across Africa, and we have seen thousands of people filled with the Spirit by praying in this way with people. And if you have not been comfortable praying with people to be filled with the Spirit in the past, you can learn how to effectively pray with people to be filled with the Spirit. That has been my own experience. For many years, I did not regularly pray with people to be filled with the Spirit because I didn't know how. The Bible school I studied, I went through, no one ever taught me how to do this. But as I learned this model, it has helped me. And now praying with people to be filled with the Spirit is a joy. It's a wonderful thing that I love to do. And so we offer this model to you as a tool to help you to do this ministry. And there are three parts to the model. There is, first of all, what we would call the interview or instructions. Whether you are with one person or a group of people, you want to begin by speaking to them and by giving some very specific instructions. And after the instructions, then there is the prayer engagement. You will spend time. And this is the largest part of time needs to be focused on actually praying with people.
Kipengele cha pili katika mfano huu au kielelezo hiki ni kujiingiza katika maombi.
And then after the prayer time, again, you will give post-prayer guidance or you will give further instructions.
Na katika swala maombi ni kwamba maombi yao ya muda mrefu, lakini baada ya hapo unawapa maelekezo ya mwisho.
So three parts.
Kwa hiyo maneno matatu.
Instructions,
maelekezo,
prayer,
maombi,
and instructions.
Na
That's not complicated. So let's look at each of these. Let's talk first of all about the first step, the interview or instructions.
Hebu tuangalie juu ya mambo haya. Tuanze na jambo la kwanza, maswali na maelekezo.
What you again, keep these elements that we've talked about in your mind.
Na utakapokuwa umetunza maelekezo haya katika ufahamu wako.
We're preparing people to pray with them. Where our goal is to prepare them to receive the Holy Spirit.
Tunapoandaa watu kuomba pamoja nao, lengo letu ni kuwasaidia waweze kujazwa Roho Mtakatifu.
And so as you're speaking to people, as you're giving instructions, you want to encourage and inspire faith in their hearts.
Kwa hiyo unapoongea na watu, hakikisha kwamba unawahamasisha kuwa na imani katika mioyo yao.
People receive the Spirit best in an atmosphere of faith.
Watu wanapokea Roho Mtakatifu katika mazingira ya imani.
And you can encourage faith in people's hearts with your words.
Na unaweza ukawahamasisha au kuwatia moyo watu kuamini kwa maneno yako.
The Bible says faith comes by hearing the word of God, does it not?
Biblia inasema kwamba imani huja kwa kusikia neno la Mungu.
Use the scriptures and speak to them about the promise that God has made, what God has promised to do in their life. Share the scriptures with them.
Tumia maandiko kwa ajili ya kuhamasisha juu ya kwenda kwa swala zima la imani kama Biblia inavyosema.
Tell them that Jesus said you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Jesus said this is the promise of the Father. Jesus said, if you will ask, you will receive. Can you see, as you share these things from the Word of the Holy Spirit will take His Word and He will inspire faith in people's hearts. And so tell people, if you will believe the promise of God and you will ask, God will hear your prayer and He will answer and He will give you the Holy Spirit.
Mungu atasikia na atatoa majibu kwa ujazo wa Roho Mtakatifu.
As we give instructions, the second thing that you want to do is you want to help people to clearly understand what is going to happen.
Unapoa maelekezo kusudi la pili ni kuhakikisha kwamba wanaelewa kwa uhakika kwamba ni kitu gani kitakwenda kutokea.
But when people are unsure what is about to happen, that does not help them to relax and to focus on receiving the Holy Spirit.
Watu wanapokuwa hawana uhakika na kile kitakachokwenda kutokea, hawataweza kuwa na utulivu mzuri na kutarajia hicho kitu.
Sometimes people come and they just stand and wait because no one told them what to do and they don't really know what to do.
Wakati mwingine watu wanapokuja hapa mbele wanasimama, wanakaa kimya kwa sababu hawajui cha kufanya, kwa sababu hamna ambaye amekuja kuambia ni kitu gani watafanya.
So you want to explain and to help them to understand what they must do and what God will do.
Ni vizuri kuelezea kwamba ni kitu gani wanatakiwa wao wafanye na ni kitu gani Mungu anatafanya.
Explain to them what we need to do now is we need to pray.
Na ni vizuri kuambia kwamba tunachotakiwa kufanya sasa tunataka kuomba.
And you can tell them I'm going to pray but you also must pray.
Mimi nitaendelea kuomba na ninyi pia mtatakiwa kuomba.
Because as you pray, God will hear your prayer.
Kwa sababu unapoomba, Mungu atasikia maombi yako.
Tell them we're going to pray together. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. After I lead you in the prayer, you will continue to pray and we will lay hands on you. So you explain to them what's going to happen.
Kwayo nitakwenda kuomba pamoja na ninyi. Nitakuwa ninawaongoza katika maombi, lakini ninyi pia mtaomba. Na mtakapoendelea kuomba, basi Mungu atasikia na kisha mtakwenda kupokea.
You also want to help to create understanding so that they will know what to expect from God.
Na pia unatakiwa kueleza wapate uelewa kwamba ni kitu gani wanatarajia kutoka kwa Mungu.
As we are praying with people, oftentimes usually we will explain to them, when God answers your prayer, He will give you the Holy Spirit and you will begin to sense His presence inside. If you have been filled with the Spirit, you know what I'm talking about. When God gives His Spirit, we sense His presence in our hearts. Explain to them, the Spirit will come upon you and then He will fill you. You will feel His presence. You will know God is answering my prayer. This will help them to be ready to understand that when God gives me His Spirit and I begin to sense His presence, that means God is answering my prayer.
Na watakapokuwa wanajisikia hali hiyo, watakuwa wanaelewa kwamba sasa Mungu anajibu maombi yangu.
But there's one more thing that is important to help people to understand.
Lakini kuna jambo jingine ambalo ila muhimu kuwasaidia watu.
With your instructions, you want to create understanding about how they should respond when they sense God's presence.
Pia unatakiwa kuwaelekeza ni jinsi gani waitikie pale wanapoanza kusikia uwepo wa Mungu ndani yao.
Oftentimes when people sense God's presence, they don't know how to respond.
Mara nyingi watu wanaposikia ule uwepo wa Mungu ndani yao, hawajui waitikieje.
What I have noticed in many parts of Africa is when people, they genuinely feel God's presence, God is answering their prayer, but rather than responding the way the Scriptures teach us to respond, they begin to respond in some physical, moving their body or falling down or shaking. They respond with their body.
Mara nyingi katika Afrika nimeona jambo hili kwamba Mungu anapokutana na watu wanaanza kusikia ule uwepo wa Mungu, lakini kwa sababu hawaelewi ni kitu gani wanaweza kufanya, kwa hiyo wanabaki katika ile hali ya katikati, hawaelewi wafanye nini.
Or sometimes when people begin to feel God's presence, maybe they begin to scream or to shout.
Wakati mwingine wanaposikia uwepo wa Mungu wanaanza kupiga kelele.
But what we want people to do is we want them to respond the way we see people responding to the Spirit in the book of Acts.
Lakini kitu ambacho tunatakiwa kuwasaidia ni kuwa na mwitikio kama ule ambao waliitikia katika kitabu cha Matendo ya Mitume.
Because when the Holy Spirit comes upon us, He comes upon us to give us power to speak for God. That's what God said to the prophet Joel. He said, in the last days I will pour out my spirit upon all people and they will prophesy. The Spirit will come upon them and they will be empowered to become God's witnesses. Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will receive power and you will be my witnesses. You will speak. And over again, what we see in the book of Acts is that when people were filled with the Spirit, the immediate response was that they began, by the Spirit, they began to speak in a new language. And this is a miracle of the Spirit of God. It is a powerful experience that bears witness with a person that they have now been empowered by God to speak. And so explain to people, when you sense God's Spirit, the proper response is not to fall down, but the proper response is to open your mouth and begin to speak the words that the Holy Spirit gives you. God will give you a new language. The Holy Spirit will be like a river rushing out of you. But you must take a step of faith and you must open your mouth and begin to speak. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 4, it says they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they began to speak as the Spirit gave them the words. The Spirit was giving them the ability. But they were opening their mouth. They were speaking. And so when people understand how they should respond, this helps them to focus on sensing the presence of God and responding in the proper way. Use the instructions to encourage and inspire faith and to create clear understanding. To help people to understand what they are to do and how they should respond when they sense the presence of
God.
And then after you have given instructions, then it's time to pray. You want to lead people in prayer. Normally, when we have a group of people in the church, rather than just saying, begin praying, we will usually lead them in a prayer.
And
this is just to help them to begin praying. And then after that, we encourage them to, they must continue praying. But by leading them in a prayer, this helps walk them through asking and believing and receiving the Holy Spirit. And we lead people in a three-part prayer. First of all, lead people to ask in faith. And so we will say to everybody, let's pray together now and let's ask Jesus to give us the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus said, ask and you will receive. And so we lead the people in prayer. Dear Jesus, fill me with your Spirit. I come in faith to ask you for this gift. I love you, Jesus. And I need your power in my life. Give me your Holy Spirit. And so help the people to begin to see how they should pray and ask. But not only should we lead them to ask, but lead them in a prayer to actually receive the Spirit.
Lakini si tu kwamba wanatakiwa kuomba, lakini waongoze katika maombi ya kupokea Roho Mtakatifu.
Because a prayer of faith is a bold prayer that says, I receive this gift right now.
Kwa sababu maombi ya imani ni maombi ya ujasiri ya kusema kwamba ninapokea sasa kipawa hiki.
Jesus said, everyone who asks receives.
Yesu anasema kila anayeomba upokee.
And so lead them in a prayer. Dear Jesus, right now by faith I receive the Holy Spirit.
Wewe waongoze katika maombi wakisema kwamba Yesu kwa imani sasa ninapokea.
If they believe God is giving the Spirit and I receive the Spirit, that faith in their heart, it will open the door for God to fill them with His Spirit.
Wewe utakapoamini kwamba Yesu atawapa Roho Mtakatifu, ile imani ndani yao itawafanya waweze kupokea.
Then the third part of the prayer.
Na eneo la tatu katika maombi.
We encourage them now, as you sense God's presence, begin to speak.
Na watie moyo sasa kwamba unapojisikia uwepo wa Mungu, endelea kuongea.
In faith, begin to speak as you sense God's presence. Speak from where you sense His presence.
Na pale unapojisikia ule uwepo wa Mungu, endelea kuongea.
Speak the words that God gives you.
Ongea yale maneno ambayo Mungu anakupa.
Don't be afraid.
Usiogope.
Begin to speak.
Endelea kuongea.
And as you pray with people, God will begin to fill them.
Na utakapokuwa ukiomba na watu, Mungu ataendelea kuwajaza.
And so we lead them in this three-part prayer.
Kwa hiyo unawaongoza katika maeneo matatu.
This comes from the scriptures.
Na hii inatokana na maandiko.
And then encourage people as you're praying, encourage them to focus on sensing the presence of God.
Na unapoandaa watu watie moyo kuhisi ule uwepo wa Mungu.
Sometimes people get very focused on trying to speak in tongues.
Mara nyingine watu wanalenga wanakuwa natazamia sana kule kuongea kwa lugha.
And that's not what they should focus on.
Na hicho sicho wanachotakiwa kufanya.
Or sometimes people are shouting and speaking in Swahili or English or whatever language they know, and they just keep praying in that language, and they're not focusing on sensing God's presence and speaking from where they sense God's presence.
Wakati mwingine watu wanaendelea kuomba kwa zile lugha zao wanazozifahamu badala ya kutulia na wanapoendelea kuomba wakisikiliza ndani ya mioyo yao katika uwepo wa Mungu.
It's not with many words that we are filled with the Spirit.
Si kwa maneno mengi kwamba tunajaa.
It's not by shouting and jumping up and down and moving around that we're filled with the Spirit.
Tunaruka ndio tunajazwa Roho Mtakatifu.
We're filled with the Spirit when we ask in faith.
Tunajazwa Roho Mtakatifu tunapomuomba kwa imani.
And we receive and we begin to sense God's presence.
Na tunapokea pale tunapoanza kusikia uwepo wa Mungu.
And then we submit to the presence of God and we begin to speak the words that the Spirit gives us.
Na tunapotoa kwenye uwepo wa Mungu hapo ndipo tuna
And so sometimes it's good even to stop people and lead them in a prayer again, but this time encourage them as you pray, as we ask, now focus on sensing God's presence. Sense His presence in your heart.
Wakati mwingine unapoendelea na zoezi, ni vizuri kuwasimamisha watu kwa muda, halafu uwakazie tena kwamba ile hali ya uwepo wa Mungu wanapoisikia ndani ya mioyo yao ndipo waanze kuomba.
As you ask, believe God is answering your prayer.
Na unawaambia kwamba unapoendelea kuomba, Mungu anajibu maombi.
Feel His presence. Feel His presence.
Sikiliza na hisi uwepo wake.
And then begin to speak.
Alafu endelea kusema yale ambayo kutokana na uwepo wa Mungu yanatoka ndani.
And then as you pray with people, just pray with them for as long as you sense that God is moving in people's hearts.
Na unapoomba na watu, tumia muda mrefu kiasi cha kutosha kwa kadri unavyoona Mungu anatembea katikati ya watu.
You yourself, you must be sensitive to the Spirit of God.
Na kwa sababu wewe mwenyewe utakuwa unaweza kuwa makini na msikivu kwa Roho Mtakatifu.
And continue to encourage the people to pray. Continue to encourage them to ask.
Endelea kuwatia moyo kuomba.
And if need be, stop and give more instructions.
Na unaweza ukawasimamisha pia ukawapa maelekezo mengine tena.
Watch the people who are praying.
Waangalie watu ambao wanaomba.
And if you see people, you can see they're not praying in faith or they're not responding the correct way to the Spirit of God, give more instructions. Help them to understand how they should respond. And then pray again.
Hawajaweza kuendana na vizuri na jinsi tunavyoelewa kwa habari ya uwepo wa Mungu. Hebu wasimamisha tena hiyo ibada, halafu wasaidie tena, halafu endelea nao.
Sometimes a person just needs to be encouraged once again to exercise their faith.
Mara nyingine watu wanatakiwa kutiwa moyo tena ili waweze kutendea kazi imani zao.
So this will be where you will spend most of the time in actually praying.
Kwa hiyo utatumia muda mrefu kwa ajili ya maombi.
But then after you have prayed,
lakini baada ya kuomba,
when you sense that it is a point when it would be good to stop,
na unapoona kwamba kuna mahali pa kuacha,
there's one more step that you need to do.
Kuna kitu kingine kimoja unachohitaji kufanya.
You need to give some post prayer guidance.
Unatakiwa kuwapa maelekezo baada ya maombi.
You need to give some further instructions to this group of people.
Unatakiwa kuwapa maelekezo ya mwisho.
Because you have a group of people, it's quite possible that you will have that group divided in two.
Na utakapokuwa na kundi, kuna uwezekano kabisa hilo kundi kugawanyika maeneo mawili.
There will be those who have been filled with the Spirit.
Kunaweza kukawa na wale ambao baada ya maombi wamejazwa Roho Mtakatifu.
And there may be some who have not yet been filled with the Spirit.
Na huenda wengine hawajajazwa.
And both of them need instructions.
Na wote wanahitaji maelekezo.
So for those who have been filled with the Spirit, speak to them.
Kwa wale ambao watakuwa wamejazwa Roho Mtakatifu waambie.
And remind them why God has given them this gift.
Na wakumbushe kwamba kwa nini Mungu amewapa Roho Mtakatifu.
And encourage them now to begin to witness for Jesus.
Na watie moyo sasa waendelee kumhubiri Kristo.
Give them instructions and encourage them to go out and to begin to tell people about Jesus.
Wape maelekezo na watie moyo kuambia watu habari za Yesu.
Encourage them to continue praying in the Spirit.
Watie moyo kuendelea kuomba katika Roho.
This should not just be a one-time experience.
Isiwe tu ni ujuzi wa mara moja.
Encourage them that at home, wherever they can at any time pray and ask God to fill them with the Spirit, and when they sense His presence, they should begin to pray in the Spirit.
Watie moyo kwa wanapokuwa nyumbani au mahali popote wanaposikia uwepo wa Mungu, wanaweza kuomba katika Roho.
So that they will maintain this experience in their life.
Ili waweze kutunza ujuzi huo katika maisha yao.
But then there is the other group.
Lakini kwa kundi jingine.
Those who have not yet been filled.
Wale ambao hawajajazwa Roho.
And they also need instructions.
Na wao pia wanahitaji maelekezo.
They need encouragement.
Wanahitaji kutiwa moyo.
Encourage them that the gift is for them.
Watie moyo kwamba zawadi hii ni kwa ajili yenu.
And they just need to continue to ask and seek and knock until they receive.
Wanachotakiwa kuendelea tu ni kugonga mpaka watakapopokea.
And so encourage them to pray again and that you will continue to pray with them.
Na endelea kuomba pamoja nao ukiwatia moyo.
Because this gift is God's gift for them and it's His promise.
Kwa sababu ahadi hii ni ahadi pia kwao na ni ahadi pia kwao.
So the three parts are, we begin by giving instructions.
Kwanza tunaanza kwa kuwapa maelekezo.
Then we pray.
Pili,
and then
wataomba.
And then afterwards we give instructions again.
Na mara ya tatu tena tutawapa maelekezo tena.
And so this is the model that we are using as we are traveling and preaching in churches.
And
we have seen many, many people filled with the Spirit by praying this way. Now, let me just quickly mention a couple of other considerations. As you engage in this ministry of praying with people to be filled with the Spirit, I encourage you, study the Bible. Study what the Scriptures teach about this ministry.
Tia moyo kusoma sana Biblia juu ya jinsi Biblia inavyozungumza kwa swala zima la ujazo wa Roho Mtakatifu.
These passages we keep talking about, memorize them.
Kumbuka, endelea kukariri mistari hii ambayo tunaizungumza.
Memorize Mark chapter 11 verse 24.
Marko 11:24. Kariri.
Luke chapter 9 verses 9 and 10 and 13.
Luka 9:9 mpaka 10. Kariri.
Acts chapter 1 verse 8.
Matendo moja, nane, kariri.
And make sure you know well what the Scriptures teach about how people can be filled with the Spirit.
Na elewa vizuri kwamba maandiko yanasemaje jinsi watu watakavyoweza kujazwa na Roho Mtakatifu.
This will help you as you are praying with people.
Na hii itakusaidia unapoomba na watu.
Another counsel, we want to encourage you. This is work, and so you must not be spiritually lazy when you are praying with people.
Na ninataka nikutie moyo kwamba hii ni kazi ngumu. Wewe naomba usiwe mvivu wakati unaomba na watu.
Praying with people to be filled with the Spirit, you will become tired.
Kuombea watu wajazwe Roho Mtakatifu utachoka.
But this is important work.
Lakini ni kazi muhimu, lazima ukubali.
We are mobilizing the church for God's mission.
Tunalihamasisha kanisa kwa ajili ya utume wa Kimungu.
We are being obedient to Christ's command to make sure that His church is empowered by the Spirit.
Tunatakiwa kuwa watii kwa agizo kuhakikisha kwamba kanisa limejazwa na nguvu za Roho.
So let's commit ourselves to this task.
Hebu tuji
And one more thing, and I think Dr. Miller, he has touched on this several times in different sessions, but as you pray with people, Watch your intensity level.
Unapoomba na watu, hebu usiwe mtu ambaye una misisimko ya kupitiliza.
Again, sometimes in our zeal we mean well.
Wakati mwingine ile hali ya shauku na misukumo ya kupitiliza,
we are trying to help.
Inaweza kusaidia.
But shaking people or pushing them down, that does not prepare them to be ready to receive the Holy Spirit. Can you see now how that does not create faith in people's hearts to receive the Holy Spirit? They're more concerned about falling and hurting themselves than about focusing on sensing God's presence. So everything we do should be, again, should be designed to encourage those elements in their heart. But by the same token, don't be too quiet. Make sure they know you are there praying with them. Pray in tongues yourself. And encourage them as you pray. So that they will sense that you are praying with them. Do you follow what I'm saying? We are there to help to encourage them. Somewhere in the middle between being quiet or being too... Somewhere in the middle.
Amen.
So those are some suggestions about how to pray with people to be filled with the Spirit.
Are you...
Can you do this? Can you do this? You can do this.
Yes.
Every one of us. And you can teach these things to other people as well. You have the outline there. We need more than just the evangelism department praying with people to be filled with the Spirit. We need to teach church elders and deacons how to pray with people to be filled with the Spirit. We need to teach every Spirit-filled believer that they can pray with people to be filled with the Spirit. So take this and teach this. This is a model, a very practical, simple model that you can teach people how to pray. And then as you use this model, if you will use yourself as an example and you will follow it, and then you teach people, do what I'm doing, they will know how to pray with other people. If we are going to see the 700,000 members in the Tanzania Assemblies of God filled with the Spirit, then we must all commit ourselves to this ministry.
Tukitaka kuona wale watu ambao hawajajazwa roho katika Assemblies of God katika Afrika wakijazwa roho, sisi tujiingize katika huduma hii.
Okay, we have 15 minutes left, so let's take the last few minutes and let's talk about this lesson.
Hebu kwa dakika 15 zilizobakia tuongee kidogo juu ya somo hili.
Here again is the purpose and the three main points that we've talked about.
Na kusudi la somo hili, makusudi ambayo tuliyazungumza matatu.
First of all, we talked about the preliminary considerations.
Jambo la kwanza tulisema mambo ya kufikiria.
We talked about who can be filled.
Tukazungumza nani anaweza kujazwa.
We talked about who can pray with people to be filled.
Tukazungumza kwa habari ya kwamba nani anaweza kuwaombea watu kujazwa Roho Mtakatifu.
We talked about the biblical context, the elements that are necessary.
Na tuliangalia kwa habari ya muktadha wa kibiblia, mambo ya muhimu.
We talked about where can you pray with people to be filled.
Na tumeongea kwamba ni wapi tunaweza kuomba na watu kwa ajili ya kujazwa Roho Mtakatifu.
And then we talked about the procedure, this three-step procedure of praying with people to be filled with the Spirit.
Lakini pia tumeomba juu ya swala zima la lile zoezi la kuwasaidia.
So I would like to hear from you now. What is there something in this lesson that you have learned that has helped you, or is there maybe a question you have, further explanation that you need?
Nataka kujua kama kuna eneo katika somo hili ambalo umejifunza limekusaidia au unalo swali lolote.
Let's praise Jesus.
I thank God for this good subject.
Na
And it's like a revival from where we were taught from the Bible school. I need elaboration of one thing. When Jesus was about to depart, he breathed to his disciples to receive the Holy Spirit. Then later he told them, "You wait, do not depart until you receive the power of the Holy Spirit." Is there any difference of the power of the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit?
Okay. That's a very good question. And, you know, theologians have different ideas as to what took place. You're referring to John chapter 20 when Jesus breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit."
Wana theolojia wanapishana katika mawazo katika ile Yohana sura 20 kwa pale Yesu alipowaambia pokeeni Roho Mtakatifu.
Some consider that at that moment that perhaps that was the moment when the disciples were born again.
Inaelezewa kwamba wana theolojia wengine wanasema yawezekana kwamba hapo ndipo wale mitume walikuwa ndio wameokoka.
Others say, well, since John, he knew he was not going to write about the day of Pentecost, and so he tries to include in there what was going to happen, and he's symbolizing what was going to happen at Pentecost.
Alafu wengine wanasema kwa sababu Yohana kitabu chake asingeweza kuandika mambo yanayohusiana na baada ya Pentecoste, kwa hiyo aliandika ufupisho kabla ya ubatizo mkuu wa Pentecoste.
That passage does not say to us exactly what happened to the disciples when Jesus breathed on them.
Kile kifungu cha maneno hakizungumzi kwa uhalisia kwamba nini kilitokea baada ya Yesu kuwaambia kwamba pokeeni Roho Mtakatifu.
Yeah. In Acts chapter 2,
Matendo 2,
when the Spirit came upon them,
Roho aliposhuka juu yao,
the scripture tells us what happened in the disciples.
Maandiko yanatuambia nini kilitokea kwao.
It says, and they were filled,
and they walijazwa,
and they began to speak in other tongues. So Acts chapter 2 verse 4 is very clear about what happened in the disciples.
Matendo 2:4 iko inaelezea vizuri nini kilitokea kwa wanafunzi.
But John chapter 20 just tells us that Jesus breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit."
Lakini Yohana anatuambia tu kwamba Yesu aliwafurizia ile pumzi na akawaambia pokeeni Roho Mtakatifu.
But there's no explanation as to what happened.
Lakini hakuna maelezo marefu.
There are lots of questions that we have that the Bible doesn't always answer.
Kuna maswali mengi ambayo tunayo ambayo Biblia haijatupa majibu.
And I think from that passage what we can know is, first of all, Jesus wanted his disciples to receive the Holy Spirit.
Lakini kutokana na vifungu hivyo vyote tunachojua ni kwamba Yesu alitaka wanafunzi wake wapokee Roho Mtakatifu.
Jesus was saying to them, "You must receive the Holy Spirit."
Yesu aliwaambia lazima mjazwe na Roho.
You know, when he breathed on them, that was a very symbolic action.
Alipokuwa amewapulizia ile amewavuvia ile Roho Mtakatifu kwa ni kama ishara.
We know that the Holy Spirit is connected to wind and the breath of God.
Na tunajua kwamba Roho Mtakatifu ana muunganiko na upepo na pumzi ya Mungu.
There is definitely symbolism in this.
Kwa hiyo yawezekana ilikuwa ni ishara ya kile ambacho kitatokea.
I believe that something happened in the disciples, but I can't say definitely because the scripture doesn't tell us what happened at that moment.
Ninaamini kwamba kuna kitu kilitokea kwa wanafunzi, lakini kwa sababu maandiko yamenyamaza na mimi siwezi kujua kwamba nini kilitokea.
In John there's a connection between the Holy Spirit and the mission of God.
Lakini kuna mambo mawili kwamba kuna muunganiko kati ya Roho wa Mungu na utume wa Mungu.
Because before Jesus breathed on them, he said, "As the Father sent me, so I am sending you."
Kwa sababu alisema Yesu kwamba kama Baba alivyonituma nami nawatuma ninyi kabla kujaza.
So again we see the mission. Again we see the mission of God.
Na baadaye tunaona utume wa Mungu.
Jesus was commissioning the disciples to go out to be his witnesses.
Yesu akiwaagiza wale mitume kwenda nje kwa ajili ya utume.
And then he follows that by saying, "Receive the Holy Spirit."
Na baadaye anasema pokeeni Roho Mtakatifu.
Symbolizing again, they needed the power of the Spirit to be able to fulfill that mission.
Kwa maana walihitaji nguvu ya Roho Mtakatifu ili kuweza kutimiza ule utume.
So, you know, theologians will continue to discuss that passage for a long time to come. But what we know clearly is on the day of Pentecost, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. They were powerfully filled. And Jesus had promised that. And that is the experience that is for every believer. Okay, I hope that helps. Okay. Yes.
Praise Jesus. I need the help. Many preachers, when they get a chance to preach, when they start out to call,
wanaanza kujisema wenyewe kwamba naona uwepo wa Mungu sasa umekuja kwangu nimejaa.
They start saying that I feel the presence of God now.
Hapa nimejaa upako sasa.
Now I'm fully anointed.
Kwa hiyo wagonjwa hapa mtapona, wakujaa kwa Roho Mtakatifu mtajazwa haraka.
So those who are seated with the healed and those who are not healed, you are going to be filled because the presence is now in me. I have questions about that.
Sababu upako unaotokea madhabahuni unaondoka unapotoka madhabahuni.
Because the anointing which is on
the upako unaotokea madhabahuni na unapotoka madhabahuni unaondoka inapewa inapata shaka.
His question is when this man he is in the pulpit says that now the presence of God has come, and then it means that when he leaves the pulpit, then the presence of God also. Also, when people go to the altar, the things that they are expected to be done, they don't happen. Many preachers were confused before.
Yeah.
Please teacher, help us.
These are very serious issues all over Africa. There are many people who, in trying to make a name for themselves, trying to make themselves to become someone great, they use words to try to manipulate people. This is very sad, but it should not surprise us because the Bible tells us that these things will happen. This is one of the reasons why we need to teach and preach often about this subject so that our people will understand what the Bible says.
Hii ni muhimu sana, ndio maana tunataka masomo haya yafundishwe mara kwa mara makanisani ili watu wetu waelewe Biblia inasema nini.
When our people don't know what the Bible says, they are easily manipulated by people who speak nice words.
Watu wetu wasipojua Biblia inasema nini, watachukuliwa kiurahisi na maneno ya watu wa jamii binafsi.
And so we need to teach often about the Holy Spirit. We need to help our people understand who the Holy Spirit is and how He works in the church. That is one of the important roles of a pastor. And when people understand the Word of God and they begin to walk in obedience and faith to the Word of God, a genuine move of the Spirit will happen. And so these passages that we've been looking at, Jesus did not say, go find a man of great anointing and tell him to lay hands on you and then His anointing will be yours. That's not what Jesus said to do. Jesus said, ask, seek, and knock, and you will receive the Holy Spirit. The Father gives the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him. The only way that we can combat these things is by showing people the truth, as opposed to these false examples. And then we must not do those kinds of things ourselves. We must not try to glorify ourselves. We must glorify Jesus. We must take our people to Jesus. Not that they would worship us. We want them to worship Jesus. There's only one answer to combat lies, and that is the truth. Okay, we have time for one more question. This brother here, he's...
Yes.
Two questions.
When you read from the New Testament,
we find that people were filled by the Holy Spirit and that they spoke in new tongues. But when we read from the Old Testament, there are those special groups which we are filled by the Holy Spirit. But you don't read that they spoke in
right.
Other tongues.
Yes.
So,
yeah.
One.
Okay.
Okay.
You have made a correct observation. In the Old Testament, when the Spirit came upon people, we never see people speaking in new tongues. But what we do see is most commonly when the Spirit came upon people in the Old Testament, they prophesied. So when the Spirit came upon them, there was power. They were inspired to begin to speak. And it was not them speaking, it was the Spirit of God speaking through them. But in the Old Testament, this was only on certain people. It was not upon all of God's people. So there's more than one difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament. People did not speak in tongues in the Old Testament. But also, not everyone was filled in the Old Testament. So there is a difference between the work of the Spirit in His people in the Old Testament and in the New. And so why does God now, upon the church, why is He giving this gift of speaking in tongues? This is my personal opinion. I believe that when we speak in tongues, it should remind us of the mission of God to take the gospel to all nations. I believe this is some of the symbolism why God has given this gift now in the church, because He has given the church a mission to proclaim the gospel to every nation. And so when the Spirit of God inspires us to speak in a language we do not know, it should make us aware of that there is a people somewhere that God loves. He wants them to know who He is. And on the day of Pentecost, when that group of 120 were filled with the Spirit, it says they began to speak in all of these tongues of these nations of people that were gathered there. There were people from nations all over the world that had gathered in Jerusalem. They heard them speaking about the great works of God in their own languages. That fits in the purpose of this experience called the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus pours out the Spirit upon us to empower us to be His witnesses to the ends of the earth.
So
I believe this is a new manifestation of the Spirit working in people because it's tied to this mission that God has given us. And I think when we speak in tongues, it should testify to our hearts, if the Spirit of God can speak through me in a language I do not know, He can speak through me in a language that I do know. It's a testimony to the believer himself that truly the Spirit of God is speaking through me. You know, God always has new things. He has new things. And so it should not surprise us that there's a new work of the Spirit in the New Testament. The other significant thing is that now in the New Testament, the Spirit is poured out upon all of God's people. But also, the way Luke uses the word prophecy in the book of Acts, when Luke talks about prophecy, he's talking about speech that is inspired by the Spirit. And so, for Luke, when people were praying in tongues, this was prophetic speech. They were not speaking these words. The Spirit was speaking those words through them. So even though it is new, it is still connected to the work of the Spirit to make all of God's people to be prophets who will speak for Him. Okay, so I hope that will help. Well, I know we have more questions, but our time is gone. So I think we will stop here, but maybe your question will get answered in a later session. I hope so. So.